this is Dick Hayden from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Over the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Sports Illustrated Kids, the December 2018 edition of the magazine. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Today's program is underwritten with the support of the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation, and they can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. Well, let's move on at our last program. We had the end zone trivia questions on what's the call. And as you may remember, we had a call, reverse layup. And on the reverse layup, what we were saying is that the ball went straight up through the bottom of the hoop, popped out above the rim, and then fell back down through the net. And one player said that he scored, and he celebrated. But the other players on the other team disagreed, and you're the referee. So what did you say? Well, if you said the following, you're right. The basket does not count. Play stops when the ball enters the hoop from below. The player gets a throw-in at the free throw line extended. Our next one was the Phantom Thread. This is about a jump. A track player did a pole vault, and as his body traveled over the bar, a gust of wind blew the bar off the poles and to the ground. But the jumper did not touch the bar, and he also did not clear the bar before it became displaced. So did his jump count? Actually, the jump does not count, but he does get another attempt. And the third one goes to softball, and you're going to be the umpire here. In a softball game between the two opposing folks, there was the pitcher threw a strike, and the runner on first began to broke to steal second base, but stopped a third of the way down the baseline. As the pitcher got the ball back from the catcher, the runner ran back toward first in accordance with the look-back rule, which stipulates that a runner must immediately proceed in one direction or the other while the pitcher has the ball in the pitcher's circle. But before the runner could get back to first, the pitcher saw the runner raise her arm. I'm sorry, the runner saw the pitcher raise her arm to make a throw to first. So, fearing that she would be tagged out, the runner reversed course for second, and the pitcher only faked the throw. The runner got to second safely. The pitcher thinks Harper, the runner, is out in violation of the look-back rule because she ran in two different directions. But the runner argues that she believed the pitcher was about to let go of the ball. Since you're the umpire, what are you going to do? Well, the proper call is that the runner is safe. Runners may reverse direction if the pitcher makes a play on the runner, and faking a throw is considered making a play. So, there we go. I hope you got them all right. There's some great stuff in there. How about birthdays for the month of December in the sports world? We had some of them have already occurred, of course, this being late in the month. But on the 5th of December, it was the 27th birthday for Milwaukee Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich. On the 7th of December, Philadelphia Flyers center Sean Courtier turned 26. And on the 8th, quarterback Phil Rivers of the L.A. Chargers became 37 years old. Tyrone Smith turned 28 on the 12th. He is an offensive tackle with the Dallas Cowboys. And on the 13th, New York Yankees second baseman Gleyber Torres celebrated his 22nd birthday. On the 18th of December, Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Victor Hedman turned 28. And on the 20th, the Sacramento Kings point guard De'Aaron Fox turned 21. On December 21, the Washington Redskins free safety Clinton Dixon, celebrated his 26th birthday. Come the 25th of December, it'll be wide receiver Demaryius Thomas's birthday. He's with the Houston Texans and turns 21. On the 26th, Tottenham Hotspur and French national team goalkeeper Hugo Lloris is going to be 32. And on the 27th, sprinter and six-time Olympic medalist Shelley Ann Fraser-Pryce of Jamaica has her 32nd birthday. Finally, at the end of the month on the 30th, PGA Tour golfer Tiger Woods gets the opportunity to celebrate his 43rd birthday. And I imagine for many of our listeners, that sounds kind of old. But Tiger's still in there, plugging away, and he's a good role model when it comes to sticking with your goal and continuing to work on it so that you, too, can have success in the sport that you choose. We have an article here called Perfect Match. It's about Dallas Mavericks star Dirk Nowitzki as he talks about his first sports love, which is tennis. Here's what he has to say. I started playing when I was 4 or 5. My parents were part of a club, so in the evenings they would hang out with their friends and I would run around on the court. That was my introduction to tennis, and I have loved it ever since. As I got older, I trained 3 or 4 times a week. I even traveled on select teams and went to some big tournaments around Bavaria, where I lived, in Germany, until I stopped playing when I was about 15. Tennis helped me a lot with my footwork when I was little, and that footwork helped me later on in my basketball career. My strengths on the court are definitely my serve. I'm tall. I get good angles. And my forehand. I try to keep the points short. I start with a big serve and then step in and hopefully finish the point with my forehand. My weakness is definitely movement, since I'm 7 feet tall. It's tough on the baseline. And my backhand was never so great. So I do slice a lot. We have a tennis court at our house, and I play a couple of times a week with my wife and our friends during the summer. My older kids, Malika and Max, take lessons once or twice a week at the club. I play soccer and baseball for charity, but I always wanted to do something in a sport that I'm good at. This was my foundation's 3rd year hosting the Dirk Nowitzki Pro Celebrity Tennis Classic. There have been a lot of great tennis players that I've been able to meet. When I was growing up, I was a huge fan of Boris Becker. So was every kid who played in Germany. I modeled my game after him. I've met him, and I've met Roger Federer a couple of times at Wimbledon and at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. Andy Roddick has played at my tournament every year. Tennis is a great sport for kids. It helps with hand-eye coordination and movement, and I also think it's a great sport to play when you're older. My dad still plays, and he's over 70. If you know how to play, you'll never forget, and you will always enjoy it. Pretty good advice. I have another article for you under the heading of Prime Time. This one is about a rising star in the basketball world, 6'8", Rui Hachimura. The junior from Japan is poised to assume the lead role on a team with NCAA championship ambitions, all the while trying to guide his country to an Olympic berth in 2020. So here's his story. As a basketball player, Rui Hachimura is a big deal at the McCarthy Athletic Center in Spokane, Washington. He might even be more popular, however, at the school's English Language Center, which houses a program to teach English to foreign students. The ELC buzzes with the entrance of the superstar. Less than 3 years ago, Hachimura arrived from Japan with a very limited grasp of English. Now he's practically fluent and is even comfortable using the latest slang. On a sunny day in early October, the faculty at the center invited Hachimura to speak to its current students as a model for what can be accomplished there. He's given a blue ELC T-shirt which he slips on over his gray Gonzaga sweats before folding his 6-foot-8-inch frame into a chair at the front of a tiny classroom in the basement. There are 11 students in their first year in the program, from Japan, Saudi Arabia, and Italy. The assignment: ask Hachimura basic questions in English. One student asked about his biggest fears: animals, and he particularly dislikes squirrels. Another asked him what was his favorite NBA team. He said it's the Spurs. After about 10 minutes with the faculty beaming, Hachimura is led upstairs to a photo shoot, where he and 5 other Japanese students take a picture draped in their country's flag. He's conquered the English language. Now he's ready to help the Zags conquer the best teams in college basketball. Lost in translation. Hachimura first tried basketball when he was 13, and his coach immediately told him he would make the NBA. Hachimura was taken aback, but, he says, I was stupid, so I believed him. His coach's assertion was not too surprising. Many Japanese basketball players do not share Hachimura's height. After watching the young player's dominant showing at the 2014 U-17 Championships in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, where Hachimura led the tournament with 22.6 points per game, Gonzaga assistant coach Tommy Lloyd was interested. I had never seen a player in Asia like this before, he says. The raw talent was evident. You saw the traits. He had this body that you knew was going to blow up as he started lifting weights. Although Hachimura was only vaguely familiar with Gonzaga, he was keen on attending college in America. On a trip to Spokane, one of 2 official visits he took to U.S. schools, the other was to Arizona, he found the small city of around 215,000 people to be similar to his hometown of Toyama, a coastal city west of Tokyo. Plus, Gonzaga had a long history of cultivating talented international players, which gave Hachimura confidence that his skills could be developed. In his first year, in 2016, he was tough. The biggest challenge was the language barrier. He was absorbing 10% of what we were saying, says Coach Mark Few, and all of his classes were in English. It was really hard, says Hachimura, who averaged fewer than 5 minutes per game. But he didn't stop. I didn't know anything, he said. But as he got comfortable on the court, he made huge strides off the court. He started to pick up the language and benefited from the use of bilingual peer tutors and a robust support system. Last season, with more consistent playing time, he averaged 11.6 points and broke out with 25 points in the second round of the NCAA tournament against Ohio State. He was mentioned as a possible NBA first-round pick, but by returning for his junior season, he gets the chance to further hone his game. He's expected to be the main threat on a potential top-5 team. He's gearing up for a big year, Coach Few said. Hopes of a nation. For all his popularity on campus, Hachimura is even more widely recognized in his native Japan, where Ruimania has taken hold. At his high school, where he won 3 straight championships, fans in the stands would wear T-shirts with his face on them. During qualifying for the FIBA World Cup this past May, the Japanese Basketball Association, known as JBA, took out a full-page ad in a national newspaper. With his picture above his frame were the words, "Hope is coming back." I talked to them, and I said, "It's the national team. It's not my team," he says. "But that's what they expect of me. I've been the main guy since high school." He'll be the main guy in Japan's quest to qualify for the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. The technical director of the JBA, Tomoya Higashino, said in an email that should the team qualify, which has not happened since 1976, Hachimura will be one of the country's biggest stars. His popularity will be as much as LeBron James and Stephen Curry. That's a lot of pressure for a 20-year-old. But Hachimura is a happy-go-lucky guy. He's also determined. When English classes became too tough, it would have been easy for him to just jump to the NBA. But he never quit, says academic advisor Stephanie Galbraith. There were a lot of times when it was too much, but he recognized that learning the language is going to help him so much in his future. He wants to be proud of what he's doing. Now he has the confidence and the assurance in himself. Gonzaga hopes that confidence continues to extend to the basketball court. Hachimura only played 20 minutes a game last season, and he still earned first-team all-conference honors. He is expected to play a lot more this year. He is capable of guarding all positions and is a solid shooter. I have to be the leader of this team, he says. Back at the English Language Center, Hachimura takes students and faculty outside. He's holding a large inflatable globe. With the sun beating down, he tosses the ball high in the air as cameras snap away. There will be a lot of cameras on Hachimura this year and throughout his journey to the Olympics. But the big man seems confident and content. After all, both his teams are poised to ascend to the top of the basketball world. I'd like to now turn to an article that is titled The Easy Part. It begins as follows. In December of 2016, Patrick Mahomes was hurting. The junior had played the last five games of Texas Tech's season with a left wrist injury that would end up requiring surgery later in the month. And he played the final eight games with an AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder. He was contemplating going pro, but although he had led the nation with 5,052 yards passing and 53 touchdowns that season, he was not yet in the first round conversation. But that wasn't what Mahomes and his godfather, former Major League pitcher LaTroy Hawkins, discussed while driving Patrick's truck home from an MRI exam. Hawkins said he had one important question. Are you ready to lead men with families to feed? Hawkins, who had been a teammate of Patrick's dad, former pitcher Pat Mahomes, had grown so close to Patrick that he considered him family, and Hawkins' advice carried a great deal of weight. Hawkins wanted to know if Patrick was ready to make 52 men want to follow him. I'm ready, Patrick said. Hawkins wasn't satisfied. He posed a hypothetical. Say, for instance, A.J. Green is in your huddle. It's a contract year, and he says, "Get me the ball, man. I got to get paid." What are you going to say? I'd tell him to get open and he'll get the ball, Patrick said. He declared for the 2017 draft the following month. 2 years later, Mahomes hasn't yet had to go nose-to-nose with an angry wideout. But he is facing a different kind of challenge, how to deal with Super Bowl expectations. In his first year as a starter, he is at the center of a pyrotechnic offense, utilizing trend-setting quick passing game to get the ball into the hands of playmakers and throwing deep balls on a dime, 40 to 60 yards downfield. The Kansas City Chiefs started 5-1 and were the league's highest-scoring team, and Mahomes seemed to make history on a weekly basis. His 13 touchdown passes in the first three games of the season were an NFL record. and his five straight 300-yard passing games are a Chiefs franchise record. It might seem like Mahomes rose easily to NFL stardom, but his godfather was right. Before he could win over the rest of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes had to win over his own team. Luckily, his arm is not his only unique gift. Chiefs edge rusher Justin Houston remembers watching the 2017 draft in Atlanta with some friends. With Alex Smith at quarterback, Kansas City had gone 12-4 the previous season, and Houston was excited to see who Coach Andy Reid and General Manager John Dorsey would add to the team's cadre of young playmakers on offense, or perhaps to a defense in need of new talent. Instead, with the 10th pick, they took Mahomes, who had never had better than a 7-6 season in his time as a Red Raider. Houston was surprised. "We've got Alex at the time, and that was the last thing I thought we would do." It didn't take long for Houston to see what Reid and Dorsey saw in Mahomes. "I remember showing up for OTAs a few weeks after the draft, and he made a throw, and I knew right then he was special," Houston says. "He was rolling to his left, and he hit a guy 30 yards downfield on a crossing route. I was like, oh, yeah." Last year, Reid hired Mike Kafka, a former journeyman QB, as quality control coach with specific mandate: spend the season focusing on the quarterbacks, Mahomes specifically. Kafka tutored the rookie in the playbook and reviewed practice film. He stood behind Mahomes in practice and offered constant and consistent coaching points. Smith, meanwhile, was putting together the best statistical season of his career. He had finished 2017 with an NFL best 104.7 QB rating, a career-high 26 touchdown passes, and his second straight AFC West crown. After Kansas City's first-round playoff loss to the Titans, offensive tackle Mitch Schwartz called Smith the best quarterback in the NFL this year. 3 weeks after their season ended, with that defeat by the Titans, the Chiefs dealt Smith to Washington and promoted Mahomes. He had one NFL game under his belt. With the Chiefs' playoff position locked, Reid let him start the otherwise meaningless Week 17 game against the Broncos, the first time a rookie had started a non-strike game for the franchise since 1979. Mahomes threw for 284 yards and led a last-minute drive for a game-winning field goal. "He's the quarterback of the future for the Chiefs," Denver linebacker Von Miller said afterward. "Hats off to Mahomes. He's going to be a great quarterback." Cliff Kingsbury remembers a time when Mahomes wasn't so comfortable in pressure situations. September 25, 2014, to be exact. Texas Tech starter Davis Webb got hurt against Oklahoma State in Stillwater. So Kingsbury, the Red Raiders coach, had to toss his freshman quarterback into the fire. Mahomes promptly fumbled and then threw an interception on the same play. He didn't really know how to handle practicing as a backup, not getting many reps, Kingsbury says. "And when he got in there, he just knew, I'm not prepared for this, and he really didn't know what he was doing out there. And he was embarrassed by it. After the game, I could tell he was never going to have that feeling again on a football field." Ask Mahomes now about the pressure of wins mounting and records falling, and he has a simple answer: the kind we've come to expect from this generation of CEO quarterbacks. "I don't feel that pressure, just because we've left so many plays out there, 60-yard bombs that could have gone for touchdowns," Mahomes says. "Having the guys I have around me, the offensive line that is blocking their tail off, I have all these weapons at wide receiver and tight end, so I know I don't have to try to do too much." He can pretend he's just a cog in Reid's offensive machine, but he's not fooling anyone. For the record, he has more passing yards, 1,865 versus 1,637, and more touchdown passes, 18 versus 13, than Smith did 6 games into the 2017 season. Teammates marvel at Mahomes' maturity level, at how he never gets too high or too low, at how he effortlessly does things it takes most NFL quarterbacks years to develop, feeling the backside pressure, knowing when to throw it away, cycling through the progression reads. During the week, he can be getting nagged. You've got coaches right behind him talking every play in his ear, Chiefs wide receiver Sammy Watkins says. Then game day comes, and they let him go. I watch him go through 4 reads every day, and that's a rare thing for a young guy. He is definitely special. I've got another item for you here, folks. It's a mystery athlete. I'm going to give you some clues and see if you can pick up the name of this guy. Clue number one, the mystery athlete, had 59 points in the 2017-18 year, tied for 8th among all NHL defensemen. He was an all-star game captain for the 2nd season in a row. Clue number two, in 2012-2013, his 3rd NHL season, this mystery athlete earned the Norris Trophy as the league's tops defenseman. And clue number three, the mystery athlete who grew up in Toronto, played in Montreal for 6 seasons before being traded where? To Nashville, the Nashville Predators. Have any idea who we're talking about? I'll give you a second, or two, or three, maybe four, actually 5. You don't have it? You do have it? Let's check. The mystery athlete is P.K. Subban, S-U-B-B-A-N, a defenseman for the Nashville Predators. To everybody who got that right, congratulations. I didn't know it. Hang on. You may recall from our last program that I noted we had a series of cards available. Call them like baseball cards, hockey cards, football cards. I think there were about 9 or so of them. If you are still interested in getting one of these, you can give us a call at the Triangle Radio Reading Service at 919-832-5138, or you can send us a letter to the Triangle Radio Reading Service at 211 East 6 Forks Road, Suite 103, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27609. And make a note in there that says you heard about the cards and you would like to have one. If you remember the names of them, you can go ahead and mention that. And I'll be sure to get one out for you. Okay? Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated Kids. We hope you enjoyed it. Today's program is underwritten with the support of the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation, and they can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and is available as a podcast at www.triangleReadingService.org.